How we all doing? We're back. It's coffee break. It's so good to see everybody. It's so good to be back. My name's Spencer Campbell. I'm also known as Gila RPGs. It's been a little while since I've done this. This is coffee break. It's ostensibly a weekly show, depending on if I can actually keep that up, in which I sit down and just hang out with cool people and friends from the indie RPG scene. And we're back after a long hiatus, and I'm so excited for tonight. I'm sitting down with a lovely person. I've got Super Dylan here with me, sitting down for coffee break. Welcome, Dylan.
Hello. I'm really jazzed to be here, and I'm really stoked that you asked me, and I'm glad to be, you know, re-piercing the ear of coffee break right now. I'm really excited about that.
Re-piercing the ear is a really good way of putting it. I love that for us.
It's not a new hole.
No.
just covered up a little bit.
Perfect. Excellent. This is a great analogy to start the return of the show. I'm so dang excited about this. Before we hop into anything, which is truly nothing prepared, like I usually do, but I do like to ask folks, are you drinking any kind of coffee tonight? Or what are you, what kind of beverage are you having?
I'm so glad you asked. I'm drinking my most favorite thing on the planet. It's the supplement to my, antidepressants. It is this, these little like CBD seltzer waters.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
My anxiety is like here at all times. So these are perfect, and they taste like lavender water. It's great. And then I'm just calm.
That's super nice. That's super nice. Is it just, is it just CBD or is it,
it's CBD like, and melatonin and lavender.
All
and,
the good stuff. All yeah. the stuff that's going to make your brain feel stuff. Real cozy.
Yeah, after this, I go to sleep.
Oh, that actually sounds quite nice. Yeah. I would like a delightful sleepy tonic right now. Yeah. Instead, I'm going to drink coffee. So I'm going to do the opposite of that.
The exact opposite, even.
Hot angry water is what I'm going to be drinking instead. like I said, it's really, really wonderful to have you here. Do you want to like introduce yourself to the fine folks who are watching or watch this later or listen along at home? Why don't you tell folks a little bit about who you are, Dylan?
I will. I'll tell those folks. Hi, folks. I'm Super Dylan. I do a myriad of things, but two of those things would be that I perform a lot in actual play podcasts and streams, and I make, small, easily playable narrative RPGs and RPG supplements. And I love doing both of those things very much. Talking about games, playing them, thinking about them 24/7. It's kind of, that's what I do.
That's the vibe of pretty much everybody that I bring onto the show. Is like, I can't turn it off. I can't stop the brain from doing it. The brain just demands that I think about, talk about, breathe about games. 24/7.
Yeah. I'm like, I like experience like a deep and loathsome heartache. And like, as it's happening, I'm like, I wonder if I could gamify this feeling. it's a sickness.
Wow. What a vibe that is. Truly. I love that. Also, Rob Rowling said a very nice and kind thing, which is a good thing this is coffee break because there are some good beans on screen.
That Rob can always be trusted to have a good little line. Hi, Rob.
I love that. That's such a nice thing.
That's a good egg over there. Yes.
Let's see. We were talking about dogs just before this, and so I just want to do like another dog check-in because I didn't get to ask you, what kind of dog do you have?
Oh my God, the best one. I have the best. Yeah, I'm so glad you asked. I have the best dog of all the dogs. Her name's Samantha. She's not here right now, although I put a bed for her under my desk as bait. so that I don't have to be alone for too often ever. She is a redbone hound dog. It's like there's like the blue tick hound dog and the redbone hound dog. They're supposedly hunting dogs, but she was an adoptee. I found her on the side of the road, on the side of a highway when she was like 3 months old.
Oh, wow.
And for the first couple months of her life, she was raised by pigs, because she was too like flea and worm infested to be inside of a house. And so the vet that was taking care of her was just like, oh, I've got a pig pen. I'll just let her sleep out there with the pigs. So anyway, this wow. little, so she spent 3 months. Living with pigs until she was all better. And now she's just a grown old lady who is like part pig a little bit. She has a lot of pig qualities.
Oh.
She does a little like snort sound when she's really happy.
Oh my God. She truly adopted pig mannerisms.
And she cleans herself like a pig, like pigs clean themselves obsessively like cats do. And so she does that. She chews down her own fingernails at the end of every night, like before she goes to sleep. She's the best dog on planet Earth. I love her so much.
This is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
You've blown my mind here, this whole concept.
She's great.
I feel like more dogs need to be raised by pigs in their early days to like pick up some really good habits. And then, wow, that sounds great. I love that.
Pigs are great role models. And we should all choose to be more like them. Especially if we're dogs.
Yeah. If we're dogs. That is lovely. My dog is she's a cockapoo. She's very much, it sounds like, maybe the opposite of your dog, where
you go on.
You need like a bed to trick or like to invite your dog to come hang out. And Clover is a pandemic dog. So we got her right at the start of the pandemic.
Oh, so she doesn't know that she's a dog yet.
She doesn't know that she's a dog. She doesn't understand that I would ever leave her presence. Like the idea of me being away from her or her being away from us.
Yeah.
She just doesn't comprehend that, which is like great in some situations. Like our yard is not fully fenced and we have zero fears because she won't go anywhere.
Yeah.
She would never do that. She loves her mom too much to ever even think about running away. But at the same time, then she truly was introduced to virtually nothing as a child. So like your dog getting the lay of the land from the pigs, understanding how life works, learning cleaning habits and how to make cool noises. And pigs are so smart. So certainly your dog learned from that. And then Clover's like, the whole world, I've never seen it for most of my life. And now all of it terrifies me. That's my dog. For you.
And so pretty.
She is a pretty dog.
Such a pretty dog.
She's a cutie. She has like the ever so slightest underbite, which is really cute. So her teeth don't come out, but like her bottom lip pouts a little bit. So she always looks a little pouty. And you're like, oh, what's wrong, Clover the dog? And everything's fine.
I too feel like a pandemic dog sometimes.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I think we're all a little pandemic dog. There are two dogs inside of us, and one of them is a pandemic dog.
One of them lived through the pandemic. The other disassociated for that time period.
I love that Cassie is dropping the Clover emoji in the Twitch chat. Thank you very much for doing that and showing the world. There are plenty of Clover emojis that that's truly the only emoji that I need in the world is Clover emotes.
Emoji.
So that's great. That's true, Mad Quail. Have you seen the world? It's pretty terrifying.
It's rough. It's rough out there.
Yeah.
I'd like to stay away from it. But no matter what I do, I keep having to go
back.
There.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still out there. It's still out there. Huh?
Hasn't gone away.
I also really like Aaron's idea of a children's movie where a dog raised by pigs teaches a naive Clover about the world. What a buddy pet movie that would be. That'd be very
cute. That does sound like a great movie that I'd watch. But I'd since watch no it. One's gonna make it,
how can we gamify?
How can we gamify that? Thank you for catching my drift. It's like,
I don't have the means or...
Well, I don't think Hollywood's going to buy that right now, but I do have a Word document.
I do have that and an itch page that's just dying for me to put more things on it. That is fantastic. Dylan, one of the things I know about you is that you
I like this game already.
Love a lot of, about werewolves.
Yeah, I love werewolves.
Which is super cool to me. I admittedly am not well-versed in werewolf lore or things like that. I'm curious where you're, like, where did this passion / love for werewolves kind of, like, come from for you?
Oh my God, easy. Trauma. So it came, I'm so sorry.
It's not good for us.
Okay, so I was, I think one thing you should know about me is when I was a teenager, I was very, cynical, angsty, dark, gloomy, you know, I wore ball chain necklaces. I was very artsy, person. I was also, diagnosed with lupus when I was a teenager. They haven't cracked it yet, so I unfortunately still have it. But it was also back then, it was like the early days of like forums on the internet and places where you could truly like hang out and connect with people around a similar cause on the internet. And so getting diagnosed with lupus, I sought out other like people with lupus to chat with and talk to. And I learned two things very quickly. One was that the majority of people who had lupus were in like their mid-50s. It mostly is something that people get diagnosed with around menopause. So there was a big, tremendous age gap from me and my other peers in this in this hellhole. And that two, all of the stuff they used to make themselves feel better was extraordinarily unbearably cheesy to me and did not make me feel better. So their thing was like that. So when you have lupus, when you get a flare up, sometimes you get like a butterfly shaped rash on your face. Not cute. It looks very horrendously inflamed and bright, and it's painful and whatever. But you know, the memes around the forums are like, it's like our butterfly, and like that's just like our beautiful like selves on the inside, and like there's all this flowery, beautiful butterfly imagery that does nothing to help me, and certainly did not when I was even more of a little prick. So I didn't like it. And so then I was searching for other things to find comfort in because it was absolute hell. And in looking up like the history of the disease and things like that, obviously it's called lupus, which is Latin for wolf, but there is a reason behind that. That was pretty cool. There were these thoughts that like, so there are other like lesions that you get, and they do sort of look like bite marks, like when you get them. And I get those pretty frequently too, more often than I get the butterfly one. So they're like these little big and little bite mark rashes that like will pop up, all over, and you develop photosensitivity, like an aversion to UV, and bad reactions to UV. And there are myths and like, you know, rumors that there may be some correlation to, you know, early day lupus afflicted people, and early myths of lycanthropy could have been maybe some cause of that. And it doesn't matter to me if that's true, because it was much better than, the butterfly inside me that just needs to be free and fly around. Like having like a metaphor that actually spoke to me, in a real way and tracked made me latch on pretty tight. And I haven't let go of that since. So yeah.
That is fascinating. That, and yes, I agree. The werewolf origin story or connection is way more badass and cool than the butterfly one. No shame to butterflies. Butterflies would be very cool.
Butterflies are cool.
But I get why you would be like, oh, this werewolf thing. Let's dive into that a little bit more.
That one. Yeah.
So here's what I wanted to ask you about werewolves is, because I don't know that much about werewolf lore. I'm aware that they are a thing out there. But now that I know that you've done some kind of like cool deep diving and research and stuff, I'm curious, what's like an obscure or like low tier piece of werewolf lore that you think more people should be aware of or know about? Let me give you an analogy in another lore to give you a
please.
So thrill. In vampire lore, we all know vampires and like sun, that's a no-go and stuff like that. One of my favorite tropes from some areas of vampire lore is that they can't come into a house unless they're invited.
Right.
And that's not universally known. And it's also not necessarily like always a vampire concept that, right, that moves around, but it's one of my favorites, and it is why I have pitched this concept to my brother. He does comedy at Second City in Chicago. I want him to do a sketch about a vampire burglar, so you have to somehow be invited into the home in order to burgle it. I think it's a brilliant idea, but he always goes, yeah, but not a lot of people know that about vampires. And so
are these people that don't know? That's why when you said that, I was like, oh, I exist in a weird space, because like that to me is like probably more common knowledge than most of the present Marvel franchise.
That's what I thought.
Oh yeah, and vampires.
But
yeah,
he doesn't, it's not that he doesn't know, and it's not that his castmates don't know, that he's pitched it to them and they all go, oh yeah, I get the bit, but it's like fifth or sixth on my list of things that I know about vampires. If we're playing Family Feud and you're like, what are the things you know about vampires? It's not high on the list.
Yeah.
So that's the analogy that I'm going for here. If this has helped you in any way, is there something that you feel like either more people need to know about or you just think is really interesting about werewolves?
Okay. So I think there's a couple of things I could cite, because like, when I think of the most common werewolf things that people probably know off the top of their head, it's full moons make you turn, and that silver is your weakness. I think for probably one that's really common in werewolf stories but isn't focused on enough as it should be is regeneration. Werewolves should and usually have like a quick healing thing. I like and prefer werewolf lore to like make people a little bit dog-like too. I like, you know, like their temperature, their like baseline temperature goes up a little bit because dogs have a higher baseline temperature than humans. But I like, there's a iteration of werewolf lore that I like a lot that doesn't involve the moon even a little bit, which I think is very interesting. And I like a lot in this one. This is the Armenian werewolf myth of the Margale. Which we're not going to talk about how I pronounce that.
Sure.
I am second generation. Don't look at me. But The in that story, the initial like werewolf like just like takes off her hide and gives it to someone, and they have to wear it for 7 years. And if they lose it, they can take it off, but if they lose it, or it gets destroyed, they die. So they have an incentive to wear it for the 7 years as often as possible, to avoid losing it and just perishing. But when you have it on, you have all the traits of a werewolf and are, you know, hungry and compelled to hunt.
That's amazing. I have not heard that one at all. That's yeah. super cool. Is it?
It's a really cool one.
At the end of 7 years, then, is that person have? Does that person have the ability to be a werewolf forever? Then, like, they get to pass on their hide to somebody else, or?
Oh no, no! The werewolf comes and takes it back. She's been naked for 7 years.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
She's been so cold. She's gotta come take it back.
That tracks. That makes sense. Okay, yeah. I get it. So you basically get 7 cool years as a werewolf, like on like as a like a temporary thing.
Yeah, yeah. It's layaway. It's in the original story, it's supposed to be like a curse. It's like, yeah, you did a bad thing, so now you have to be a werewolf for 7 years. I'll come back and take this from you in a while. But I still think it's pretty cool. As a story, it is much cooler than the Armenian werewolf story, which is the story of the worst vampires of all time. In our Armenian vampire story, vampires drink people's blood through their feet, specifically, and they like. It was like a really corny like children's nightmare that like, ooh, they come down and they come into your room and they see your feet sticking out and they drink all your blood through your feet.
Oh, I was misinterpreting this. I was interpreting this that they suck the blood through their feet. That the vampire would touch you with their foot, and I completely misunderstood this.
No, but then there's a legend that this one town successfully got rid of all the vampires because all of the men in the town were so smart and they slept in the bed head to foot with each other so that their heads would be sticking out of either cover. And the vampires came into the town and went and looked at all the beds and were like, oh no, the people have evolved to have no feet. We must leave this place, else we'll starve. And then the vampires all left because there were no more feet to bite.
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. I love that that's the solution to taking care of your vampire problems. Just sleep upside down. It'll all work itself out.
Just cuddle with all of your buds.
Just do a big cuddle session.
Just do a big cuddle.
Vampires hate this one trick. And it's having a cuddle session with your besties. Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you so much for sharing some vampire werewolf lore with me. I always appreciate that sort of stuff.
It doesn't take much to prompt me. You're very welcome.
Is there a thing behind you with your name on it? Is that a moon? Is that a full moon that's above it?
This is my spankable moon. It changes colors when I hit it. But yes, it is a moon.
Excellent.
Because I am thematic.
You're on brand. I love
that. Yes, very much so.
My brand is trash. I have just things all over the place.
Spencer, those are games.
Oh, right. They're games. Those... My games aren't trash. Why did I say that? My games are great.
Don't do that.
So you said earlier that you know folks might know you through like APs and then some of the design work that you do. I'm curious about the AP stuff. Like, how did you get interested in doing AP work, or how did you like what drew you to wanting to do there's like playing games at the table and stuff like that, and then there's doing it for an audience. And I'm curious, like, were you like a performer before you got into like role playing games? Like, were you on like theater or speech team or anything like that? Where you're like, okay, I think I'm pretty good at this and I'd like to do more of it.
I was into theater way before I had gotten into APs at all. And I did that as I did that all through college, and such, but it was never like a thing that I was going to pursue professionally in any way because I just had the worst stage fright ever.
Ooh.
So I was like, okay, this is, I loved doing this, but I can't do this. And then I got like really heavily into playing RPGs, privately. And sometime around when I saw, I think Harmon Quest was the first time I think I saw like a what would now be considered an actual play. And when I saw that, I was like, I guess I hadn't made the connection that like my stage fright was being overridden when I was playing these games because I was like performing for people, but I was just not getting, I was not nervous while I was doing it. I was not like freaked out by it. And so then I thought I would give it a hand. And yeah, I don't know why exactly, but I it is. It just does not trigger the stage fright at all for me. So I was like, holy shit, this is the solution to scratching that performer itch that I have without freaking me out.
That's super cool. I
Yeah.
used to be like a super shy kid growing up. I was very, very shy. And I never wanted attention. I still mostly don't want attention.
Oh.
But when I was a kid, I was very shy. And then yeah, I was on the speech team in high school because I had to give a presentation in a class and the teacher was the speech team coach. And apparently I did a decent enough job that he's like, you should join speech team. And then I did. And somehow that like I didn't do like debate or anything like that. I did
Sure.
humorous performances, so humorous duet acting.
Good. That's better.
And
That's better.
yeah, and it was fun. So I just did a silly little play with my friend for 8 minutes, and yeah, similar to you, where like suddenly that just like cracked it, and like I was just suddenly like, you know what? I'm not nervous to do that. If I'm being a little goofy, I can be a little
Yeah.
goofy. And that just for some reason made me completely comfortable with doing that. So, oh my goodness, Cassie, you went to state for HDA? That's pretty
Wow.
cool.
I have
Wow.
never even heard of this. This is great. I love this, and it's much better than debate, which is just an absolutely bonkers concept to me, even now that they're like, all right, kids, go fight about human rights
Yeah,
in front of the
it was
class.
called forensics. That's what they called it, which we think of forensics at like a crime scene, but
Yeah.
forensics actually, oh my God, I don't quite remember, but it's basically means like to com like a compelling argument, essentially. Like
Right,
gathering
sure.
forensic evidence is to gather evidence for a concrete case. But forensics like captured, yeah, like the extemporaneous speeches and like planned speeches, but then it also had like the goofy like funny stuff going on at the same time, and I was like, I'm gonna do the goofy funny stuff. I don't want to do
Love
any of
that.
that serious talking. And yeah,
Good.
it somehow, I don't know, merged my ability to actually talk in front of people when I was like, if I just be silly, if I don't
Yeah.
take it seriously, it will be fine. And that's my secret.
And now, since doing that, like I did last Gen Con, I did like do like some stage comedy with a comedy troupe. Like it's like I think that doing this for as long as I have been now has really like just totally opened
Yeah.
the gate a little bit.
That's super
Yeah.
cool. That's
Yeah.
super cool. So yeah, you've been doing AP stuff for a while now,
Yeah.
which is really neat. Are you working on anything right now that folks can catch you on the internet
I
for?
am. Yeah, I'm on. My biggest thing is that I'm a principal cast member on the Atomos, which is a long-term Starfinder actual play. And I love it. First of all, Starfinder's so cool. Just so much good little stuff in there. And I play a little Isoki, which are the best things. You can play little rat people. There's nothing better than that. And then and we're in space. We're in our second season now. Actually, for episode one of season two is where I'm literally watching the group chat go off about it, but it's gonna be out tomorrow. Yeah, I'm really a big fan of it. It's up for a couple of awards this year,
Hell
and I'm
yeah.
really happy with it. It's like it we edit out all of the mechanics talk in the podcast, and we leave up the unedited recording for people who like that. So
Oh, cool.
we have like a actual play, and then we have like an audio drama that is just the theatrical parts of the narrative.
I love that
So
idea.
yeah, I like it too. I'm really proud of it. We work really hard on it. It's really good. Yeah, it's a very good show.
That's such a cool and clever idea for making an AP like approachable or digestible for different folks who might want to attach to like different things about that get them excited
Yeah.
about actual plays in different ways. That's I
Yeah.
don't think I've ever seen that before. That's so cool. Oh, I love
Yeah.
that.
And people are really it's surprising because like, people do get attached to one or the other usually. Like there are people who only watch the full unedited show, and there are people who only listen to the podcast. And there are like two or three people that I know of who are amazing at, who watch both. Which
Wow.
I don't understand because it's a lot of time to consume things, but it's great. And yeah, it's a good show. I really like it. I really like it a lot.
That's awesome. That's super cool. Have you found that by being in APs, that it has in any way changed the way that you play like your like not streamed or not published games in any way? Do you find that there's something that's transferred over from that experience, or were they already the same and you're just kind of doing it live when you do it as a stream?
I think the thing that has changed is that I've met so many people doing actual plays that I've met so many different types of people and how they play games. So like when I sit down to play a home game with some people, like I feel like I've gotten really good at just plucking the vibe out of the air and knowing if we're like doing a good old-fashioned beer and pretzels, we're getting drunk, we're getting rowdy, we're gonna fight some dragons, and we're gonna make vulgar dick jokes at each other all night, and
As you
that's gonna be
do.
our evening. Like, or are we gonna like aim to tell a story and like get really into the weeds, and like are or are we going to like are we going to start playing this game and like kit bash it as we are going, and like start picking it apart and figuring out what we like and dislike. And I feel like I love having different groups of people who play in different ways, and that I can sit down and do all of those things on or off camera, although maybe the first one I probably wouldn't do on camera, but
Sure.
the others I would.
That's really cool. That's neat that that's a cool talent, like a skill to kind of pick up through playing with a bunch of different people to kind of be able to read the vibe of the table and adapt accordingly. That's a helpful talent because I think a lot of people don't necessarily do that and they're like, this is what I've got planned and this is the way it's gonna go and you're like, but what if we all wanted this instead?
No.
That's cool. That's super neat. Here's a kind of a thing that I typically like to talk to people about or ask people is like, because I do this somewhat and again, ostensibly regularly, weekly, I'm curious what folks are like into or interested in this week. Like what's got your attention this week? Or what are you working on, thinking about, reading about, doing, all that sort of stuff.
Okay. I'm reading about Die,
Yeah, I am here.
RPG. Do you
It's a
have it right there?
huge ass book. It's
Oh,
gigantic. It's
it's
chunky.
chonky.
And it's like big. Like the dimensions of the book feel big. And
Yeah.
that's just because I'm so used to like our standard half letter A5 indie zine size where I'm like, this is absurd.
I'm reading about it. I like parts of what I'm seeing so far. I'm bad at like gathering what I will like about an RPG or dislike until I play it. I know some people can like read one and kind of like know if they like it or not. And I rarely can pick that out unless it's like very obviously atrocious. Otherwise I need to play it before I know if I like it or not. So I really want to play that. It's probably moving quickly up to the top of my list. And then I just played, do I have it really in reach? So I don't, yeah, I do. I just spent a good long weekend playing analog Stardew Valley.
Tyler from Ryan's game, Pinnacle
yeah.
Farm.
Yeah. First of all, I love everything in that collection so much. But it's such a good solo game. And also I am gonna be using it to pen pal my friends because there's a letter writing aspect to it where you can write letters in character. So I'm building my farm right now. It's a little bit of a supernatural farm, of course. There are vampires and werewolves and ghosts and
Of
stuff
course.
because there have to be. Yeah, so I'm jazzed about that. Farm sim games are my video game of choice. So loving that I can do that in bed now.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tyler, I mean Tyler is a lovely person. I got to
Oh yeah.
actually finally meet him in person when we were at PAX. And actually I met him in Pittsburgh when I was in town for a psychology conference, which was kind of cool. I was like, I'm in
Wow.
town. And he's like, do you want to hang out with Adam and I? I was like, yes. So they're delightful, a delightful duo. And yeah,
Yeah.
that game is that whole, like you said, that whole collection is just super, super cool.
Yeah, I'm going through like a pretty heavy phase with Scene Thieves where like no one who spends more than an hour with me is safe. Is I'm like, hey, have you heard about this? And I'm like gonna try to drop it into our hangout as quickly as possible. That one's really stuck to me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scene Thieves is cool, Grandpa's Farm, although they're
They're
also,
all
and I
good.
love the format, like the spiral, like the wire bound sort of thing. So it kind of makes it easy to kind of like flip through them and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's a nice format for using thing or making your books. Die, right? So
Yeah.
this is it's gigantic. So
Yeah.
I have only just started to flip through it myself. I got through like the introduction and the rules, and then I just kind of flipped through the paragons, which are like the concepts of the classes. It seems interesting. It
Yeah,
seems
sounds
interesting
pretty
in
cool.
theory. I'm a asymmetry nerd, so I like how very different the classes look and feel compared to how it usually
everything feels being very level all the time and extremely balanced, aggressively, defensively balanced.
Yeah, exactly.
I get
that
it.
That thing that you just said. But yeah, it's you know, you say that you got to play a game to kind of get to understand it, and I don't know if I'm gonna have. That's the problem. Is I think this is fascinating, and I would love to try it. But I don't know if I have, like, my group that I occasionally play with, like, local, I don't know if I can convince them to try this.
Sure.
And so I'm going to have to try and get together, like, an online playthrough just to see what that looks like. But, like, also, part of the experience of this, and, like, I don't, did you read the comic, the graphic novels for?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, part of the experience is, like, going through the ritual of, like, sitting around the table and actually having the dice and, like, handing them and then, like, walking away from the table and then coming together and, like, you're now your paragon and, like, that all...
Yeah.
I love all of that. I love that
ritual. I like
ritual.
That, too. Yeah.
And I feel like that would be so hard to capture in an online situation. Like, I want to get together with my friends and be like, all right, nerds, we're getting together to play my nerd game. Like, because every time, like, the front comic of this book is just like the die comic where it's like, all right, everybody, get together and play the game that I've planned. And it's here's this weird box full of rocks. And it's a very cool concept.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can get my group. That's my goal, to try and get somebody to come play this book with me.
You just, hopefully. You tell them that's what they're doing.
That's true.
Yeah.
I could just do that.
Yeah.
I've been recently converting both my wife and our mutual friends into playing role-playing games because none of them played role-playing games before I entered their lives. And so it is I'm trying to, like, find the ways to get people who have no role-playing experience to, like, understand what the concept even is of, like, it's make-believe, but, like, you can kind of do whatever you want to a certain degree and all of that stuff. My go-to book, here's my question to you, is, like, what do you do when you want to show somebody role-playing games for the first time? They got no concept of what this thing is. Like, what's your intro? Here's mine.
Yeah. Ooh, let me hear it.
I use End of the World. Have you ever heard of or played End of the World?
No, I have not.
It's not in print anymore, which is a huge bummer. It's a Fantasy Flight game, but it doesn't use the weird Fantasy Flight Genesis system.
Oh, yeah, dice. Yeah.
It uses regular D6. And in End of the World, you play as yourselves in the apocalypse. And so the concept is, literally, you sit down at the table. You make your character by assigning stat values. You self-assess yourself. So you're like, okay, how strong do I think I am? How charismatic do I think I am? And then the group votes on your scores, which is already creates a really interesting conversation where you're like, actually, you are stronger than you think. Your score should be higher. Or like, I don't know if you're that fast. You're not that fast. I've seen you run. That sort of stuff. And then you dive in and you play as yourselves. And it's like, it's easy. It's easier for folks to be like, I am going to pretend I'm in an imaginary scenario where the apocalypse is literally starting around this table that we're sitting at because I'm just me. And it's like, what would you do? And you're like, what would I do? As opposed to what would such and such character that I'm playing in another game? And that's my, like, go-to thing. And I find that it usually helps people understand the concept of role-playing games.
The playing yourself thing is so yummy, but also so dangerous.
Yes.
Because it's like, I feel like that's what actually is happening when everybody loses their shit, like, 3 hours into Monopoly. I think it's because you are playing yourself and you are in Capitalism Simulator. Like, and, like, I think, like, people just really are losing the fourth wall. Like, and are just breaking down entirely and losing it. And I think that there's always a potential for that with especially with people who are not used to doing like a role-playing game. So I don't go for the playing yourself option.
Sure.
I like something that I mean, my personal go-to, what I prefer is like something with a really limited character creation process. Something that's like Honey Heist, where it's like you're some kind of bear and you're good at one of two things here, like there's yeah. these are your choices now who do you feel like you are based on that, and it kind of gets to the point. I did just teach my dad how to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Wow.
And I did that with a pre-generated character sheet because I felt like that was a good option. That worked surprisingly well because, I like is not a, you know, he's a very literal man. Not a very theatrical one, but he read the lines, like something in the backstory was like, it was like a 2-line backstory. It was like, your family was killed in a fight and you're mad about it. And he really clung to that. He kept bringing it up all night. Like everything that happened, he was like, well, it's just, I miss my family. Aww. And like, I don't know. It just like, but like having like some small little trigger point to give to somebody. So either like pre-generated characters, if it's a game that has that as an option, or like simple, restrictive, limited character creation model is what I go for.
Yeah, what we're doing now, I love that. I love that your dad was like, my family, it's gone.
Yeah.
this fuels me entirely now. My wife and our friends, we're now playing the Avatar role-playing game.
Yeah.
Because they all love Avatar. And so it's a world that they know, right? That also kind of helps as an on-ramp where they're like, we know this world. We obsessively love this world. And so we can kind of understand how to be characters in this world. But it's interesting, kind of going back to that idea of playing yourself, because when they created their characters, they all essentially created themselves. We had a conversation ahead of time, like, what kind of bender would you be? And we're like, okay, yeah, we all assessed one another. And then they're like, and so that's who I choose. And I choose the playbook that fits my personality 100%. And you're like, oh, okay. So you're just you, but now you can bend fire.
That's great.
Yeah. Which they then.
That's like, ideal.
Yeah. They get it. They're like, cool. I get to be me. I get to make decisions like I'm me, but I'm not me, but I'm in a world that I'm super familiar with. Which has been cool. It's been really fun playing in that world and watching them just, you know, it immediately goes off the rails just like every good role-playing game does, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's the best.
It is. It's good times. what are you from like a design perspective, because you just released something, right?
I just released something, and it's one of my new favorite things of mine. I'm so happy about it. I like it so much. I like it so much that I'm afraid to look at it again, because if my opinion of it changes, I'll be heartbroken. But I really do think it's good. It's called How Does That Work? You're a Bicycle. And it is a reference to this comic book right here, which is the, Good Apollo, I'm Burning Star 4, edition of the Amory Wars comic book by Coheed and Cambria's Claudio Sanchez.
Coheed and Cambria made comic books.
Spencer, do you have another 2 hours?
Oh my god! I feel like I just saw it come over you, like that moment where you say the thing where someone's super into it. They're like,
Very, very, very abridged. All of Coheed and Cambria's albums, except for one, are part of, are telling a story of a sci-fi epic. Actually, sci-fi is not quite right. Space opera, sort of space opera, epic. And there are graphic novels that correlate to each of those albums and bring the story to life, thanks to Evil Inc. Comics and also Claudia's wife, Chandra, who does a lot of the prose and is beautiful. There's also a novel. Yeah, I'm really bad quail. I have a problem, but my name is in the latest book that came out because I have poured so much of my income into these. But in this one album, there is Claudio had, when he wrote these comic books, he put himself as the protagonist, the teenage version of himself. He was in his early 20s when he started, so you know, it was not that too far behind him. He put himself as a teenager in the comics and also had littered the story with other people from his lives. And as he, you know, grew and the comic series grew and the story evolved, and these characters evolved, he started to experience like a sort of dissociation for the first time ever, where he was starting to blur the lines between the characters and the people in his real life that he had based them on years ago. And so he wrote that fourth wall break into the story, where Claudio, the writer, is visited by a demon possessed motorcycle. Sorry, not motorcycle, 10-speed bicycle, on fire, that appears to him and starts to try to convince him to kill characters off or do certain things in the story. And he starts having this argument, fighting for the characters that he wants to stay or wants to go. And there's a very iconic line where the bicycle says to him, I say you should kill her off. And he says, well, you say a lot of things. And how does that work? You're a bicycle. And shuts down the conversation and decides to go with his own narrative vision instead of listening to the fictional burning bicycle. And so that's the inspiration for this game. It's a two-player game where the protagonist from the story and the author of the story basically get to argue and fight over the fate of the protagonist. It's in like a three-act format. Scene one of every act is the story itself. Scene two is them stepping outside the fourth wall to argue about the next phase. I'm really happy with it. I like it so much. That was a little gift to myself to make.
That is the coolest thing I have heard in a really long time. Holy shit. I had no idea that this entire universe of stuff existed. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, so as somebody who I haven't really listened to Coheed and Cambria, I have one song that I know, which is Welcome Home.
Welcome Home.
Yeah. Because it's in Rock Band. Yeah. And that's how I got introduced to it. And
it's a real banger. It's a good song.
I felt bad for my cousin who was the singer for it. And then it started playing and we're like, oh my God, you have to sing this.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I wanted to get into this, like, because it's based off of, should I start at the beginning then? Do you start at the beginning of the discography in order to like get the story?
Yeah, I would. I mean, also it's very fun to hear them because they are not a band that stays true to any genre. They've done a lot of, like, their first two albums are very grungy, very, you know, very grunge punk. Then the album that Welcome Home is on is very metal, very heavy. And then they've done a lot of, they've done some prog rock, they've done some pop punk, and then they've done some like very theatrical kind of like ballad-esque music, especially in the recent years. So they span some genres. They've definitely evolved through time as a band. So it's interesting to hear. And the story does kind of follow this like young boy growing up. So when you hear like this kind of grungy music like evolve technically, that is very cool for me. Because they do start out like a very messy kind of garage band feel and become very, very, very technically adept. And I would recommend doing that chronologically. There is now, though, if you don't want to do that, the story in the last two albums has jumped several centuries in the future and is following new characters and is newly being written. So there are two new albums out with two corresponding books. So like, if you don't want to go through like a backlog and getting all of that, you can like kind of start with the new ones and follow that story instead.
I mean, I'm so into the concept of lore in things that I absolutely need to listen from the beginning and get the deep lore of this. I need to do this immediately. Like, I know what I'm doing after we finish talking is I'm gonna go get this going. I want this in my life. I love that so much. And so then it inspired you to make a game, which is really, really cool. It's a duet game then? So
it's a duet game. One GM, one player, the author and the protagonist. Yeah.
Cool. What do folks, is it like use dice or cards or is it?
Oh, deck of cards. Yeah. Deck of cards. Basically it's at the beginning of each act, the author and the protagonist draw cards and don't reveal them to each other. The author uses it to determine the next wave of the story. And then during their argument, they reveal the cards and determine how the argument ends. So in the author's favor or in the protagonist's favor. And then we move into the start of the second act based on that and carrying that over. So
have you had a chance to kind of play it a couple times?
Yeah.
Which do you like to play more? Do you like to play the protagonist or do you like to play the author?
I like to play the protagonist, which sucks so much because no one ever wants to run a game you've written for you. It freaks people out, very understandably, but it is very hard to get people to run a game you've written for you.
That's fair.
But I like being the protagonist a lot.
That's cool. I have a friend who I know I absolutely would have a lot of fun playing this game with, so I'm going to have to pick it up and then go play it with Mike. I think that sounds like just such a really cool time.
Hell yeah.
Are there like prompts in it to kind of like get you a sense of like what the story is about, or do you create the whole thing together? Like, what is that process?
There's a ton of prompt questions. There's a preamble section that's just about figuring out what kind of genre the story is, who the protagonist is, what level of awareness the protagonist is starting out with about the fact that this is a story. Like, is the protagonist totally self-aware or are they going to become self-aware throughout this process? Both are an option. And then in each act, there are prompt questions that both are about fleshing out the author's life and fleshing out the protagonist's story. In keeping with the comic, each time the protagonist breaks through that fourth wall to argue with the author, they have to appear through something from the author's life as a vessel. Ooh. So a person, an object, whatever, something important to them. And so then the author gets to tell the protagonist the importance of this thing, what it is. And then the protagonist gets to say how they change it and how they appear through it, and you know what that is like.
This is so cool. What a cool sounding game. Hey. For the folks joining us or listening at home, what's the name of the game again so that they can go find it real quick?
Yeah, it's called How Does That Work? You're a Bicycle.
And it's up on Itch.
It is up on Itch.
Excellent. Awesome.
Yes.
This will go up on YouTube as well, so the link to that will be down in the description for if you're a YouTube person.
Sweet. Hi, Captain Crail. Hello.
Kevin Crail is finishing up the Atomless edit.
Yeah. We're just talking about it very shortly ago.
That's really neat. Well, thank you so much for joining us. So cool. You're reading Die and reading other things. You just released a cool thing. Anything else that's like at the top of the mind for the week that's got your attention?
Yeah. I have a big combat coming up in 2 days. I'm GMing a ridiculous undertaking, but it's amazing. I'm running a hybrid Vampire the Masquerade and Hunter the Reckoning game where we have a party that is a mix of both. Mm. And I have a big combat that's coming up for that show on Friday. And so I'm really, really studying my combat mashup of that, because it's not terribly crunchy. It's just that there are so many like external elements like hunger and desperation and stuff to keep track of on both sides. That it'll be interesting to see how it works when it all clashes.
When you say like big combat, is it like there's a lot of players involved, so there's like a lot of people in, like, so it's like a big, like it's a big fight going on, or like
it is five players, but it is also like a big combat. There's like a lot of very, very heavy hitting creatures coming. Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. And I assume this is probably a pretty high stakes situation then. So it's a big combat in terms of it's a big deal for
It's World of Darkness, so it's the end of the world, it's obviously.
Wow, that sounds so. You've been kind of studying your notes on how to, like,
I've been really work. really critiquing them.
Okay. That's cool. Oh, I'm excited. I hope that goes well. That sounds like it's going to be fun.
Me too.
I mean, it'll be fun. People are going to have fun being, you know, diving into that and, you know.
Yeah.
Nothing ever works exactly the way we plan, but it's still going to be a great time when you do it with your friends like that. Is that something that's for like a home game, or is that something that's going to be streamed?
It's streamed. It's the penultimate episode of Enemy of My Enemy on Demiplane.
Nice.
It's a good one so far.
Cool. So folks can check that out on Friday then if they want to watch the big combat. That sounds great. Well, Dylan, I've run out of coffee here. I don't know how you're doing on your delicious.
I am out of it, and I'm sad. I need.
But it also then means that you are lulling yourself into the mode of relaxation and sleep, which sounds, really nice.
I'm ready to honk shoe. You know what I'm.
I know what you mean.
Getting ready for the big old honk shoe.
So I think this seems like a good time for us to wrap it up. You can go have your honk shoe, get a lot of rest before the big fight in a couple days. Folks at home, please do make sure that you check out Dylan's very cool sounding new game. Do you mind telling folks just kind of like in general, where can they find you on the internet if you want to be found for various things?
Follow the carefully constructed trail of breadcrumbs I've left. No, I am Super Dylan everywhere on the internet. If there's a website, there's probably a Super Dylan and it's me. My games are on Itch. They're so good. I love them all. I like them. I do. I'm a big fan of them. And this new one is my favorite. So I would really love it if you checked it out. There are community copies there. And then a lot of my other games are free. So get them. And then You should subscribe to the Atomless podcast on your favorite podcatcher. Have it ready for the next rainy day or long car ride that you have to go on, and pop it in. You're going to meet the most wonderful little characters, the most lovely little guys who are all very morally in line with you, probably. And it's, you know, capitalism is the bad guy. It's a good little story. You're going to like it. And that's it.
That's wonderful. Well, I've got some big long car rides coming up. So that sounds like I would love to have these fun little dudes in my ear while I make that drive. That sounds great. Thank you so much, Dylan, for being here. This was really, really fun to chat with you. I really appreciate you coming on. I appreciate everybody who watched along with us on Twitch, or if you're listening to this later, thank you so much as well. I will be back next week for another guest. I have absolutely no idea who it is. I barely plan the show when it happens. You think I've planned the guest a week ahead of time? No, I don't think so. So look for me on Twitter at GilaRPGs. That's where I'll be eventually talking about who the next guest is. So for now, have yourselves a wonderful rest of the day, morning, afternoon, evening, wherever it is you are, and we'll catch you later. Bye.
Bye.